And here we are on the side for just a few minutes. I don't know. I could be wrong, but when it regards, well, I don't mean about things politically or sociologically or intellectually. I could be wrong about this feeling I have that it might not be in my best interest to keep doing this ad nauseum forever and ever without the requisite payback from a caring and concerned audience, from an audience that is enamored enough of this programming that they show their appreciation via participation. Without that form of feedback, there is precious little else left for me to judge the continuing merits of doing this program with. Feedback is really essential. If I don't get telephone input, if I don't receive emails, be they positive or John, go fuck yourself, I have no way of knowing that there is a sufficient enough audience out there that I should continue to invest significant time and money and energy into producing a product that I think, and I'll leave this for you to decide, of course, that I think is the equivalent of easily as good as any similar radio programming available on commercial or non-commercial radio. But without that feedback, I am left wanting. And if I, as the programmer, as the originator of the source material, feels a lack of input and senses a lack of interest, caring on your part, putting yourself in my position, ask yourself this question. Would you continue to do this? Or would you try to find something else to occupy your time with? Now, Lord knows, between the day job, the management of this building, and my interest in audio and video outside of the radio sphere, I could very easily keep each and every one of my days incredibly busy. I will never be wanting for something to do. It's been about 30, man, years, easily, since I've last said, God, I'm fucking bored. I just don't ever find myself bored. I'm fascinated by people that are bored because it tells me that they are intellectually bereft on some level. Because if you're a thinking person, you should be thinking along the lines of what it is that will make you happy, what it is that you like to do. And I, you know, I try and keep in mind that some of the things that people like to do are things that they can't do all the time. Hey, I like to go fishing. Can't go fishing all the time. Hey, I like to play sports. Can't be playing sports all the time. But unless one has varied interest, allowing one more potential options of things to fall back on and do with one's life, life can get rather boring rather quickly. My habits, if you will, what other people would refer to as my hobbies, my interests, can be all-consuming, and they take a lot of time. Just my interest in computers alone. I mean, same thing with the big guy. Between his radio shows and his interest in computer technology and things to do on the computer, time passes relatively quickly for us that are engaged in those particular types of pursuit. On the other hand, folks whose fields of pursuit are more limited or narrower probably don't have this problem. But I know that by giving up radio, I would have far more time to invest in other things that I enjoy. And although I get enormous satisfaction from doing this, deleting this from life's inbox would allow me considerably more time to engage in other pleasures and would reduce significantly certain types of stress and agita that now steal quality from my life. What do you think, gentlemen? I mean, you know, all things considered, like you say, Michael, you know, this is what you do, and this is pretty much these days how we get together and enjoy each other's company, and how I get to see certain friends. But It becomes a somber and perhaps even self-serving pursuit when you find yourself doing it for an audience that might not be diminished. I don't know. How were the numbers tonight? I never checked until the end. Were they adequate or were they down? At least our internet.
Around the same as they have been.
Okay, all right. So our audience remains static, which is good. At least it's not dropping off. But the lack of input from the listeners is really aggravating.
You know, I think what it is that you're on and people expect you to be on, and you're going to get listeners that are going to rotate out and rotate in, and there are going to be nights when the people who like the call just aren't going to be there. And the people, you know, the only way to keep it fresh is really to push it into other outlets. But you can't do that.
Well, see, I don't know what that means. No, I have to interrupt. Hold your point, because this is what I got to say. One of the things I think about every week going into every show is how to keep it fresh.
Well, it's not that keeping it fresh. It's just that the audience decides, well, I want a week off here or a week off there, or they got lives.
They're not allowed.
But it's true. It happens to everybody. I mean, even with the oldies I play, sometimes I get hardly anybody in there, and then some nights the chat room's going crazy,
yes,
and I play requests left and right. But that's the point.
No, but it's different when you're doing a musical format.
Yeah, but I'm saying no.
And it's easier. I'm sorry. Yeah, no offense, but it's easier.
Yeah, it's easier. But I'm saying, you know, when you've got the audience is going to flake in and out. You have to go and try to expand into, like, other outlets. Say another radio station. But that holds another problem, because this show is based on free speech, and you're going to get the F-bomb, and you're going to get gross lines.
Wait, stop. No, that has nothing to do with it. This program is time-intensive in producing it. For me, the way I do radio, where I like it snappy and tight and very produced, doing radio shows anywhere else. I'd love to be doing a music show. Hank and Jim are doing a show now on offshore music radio.
Right.
Something I thought about doing there a couple of years ago. I was like, wow, this is the perfect place for me. But I realized I do not have the time to invest in doing that. I couldn't, and I could possibly do it. But if I did it, I'd do it on the cheap in terms of the quality of the show, and would probably negatively impact upon this show.
No, you see, you're thinking of another show. You're thinking of another
one.
No, I'm talking about having to make...
No, but that gets the brand name out there.
No, I'm talking about trying to say, add an outlet, a public radio station that is dying for programming, but you'd have to change your format.
Yes, but I've been there. I've done that.
Yeah.
I could change my format to, shall we say, clean up the act. Lord
right.
knows we've done that. But there are many problems that are involved there.
Exactly.
The whole timing goes off. The hard breaks, the needs and interruptions of the station.
Exactly.
Not to mention, quite frankly, a lot of the material we use here, we play, which is with minimal. Johnny, go ahead and do this until I get hassled about it, material that's outright thieved from other sources.
Yes, I know.
You know, if I had to sit down, see, without certain product that we, quite frankly, use not exactly with permission, it would require me to spend more time, and I'd love to have it, spend more time in production of bits and song parodies like the one we did tonight. Even a simple little 1-minute song parody like that takes a lot of fucking time to prepare the musical bed and add the vocals. You sit down and write the lyrics.
But
doing this type of radio is very time intensive. And unlike the people you hear on the radio, if you listen to shows that are relatively produced, like a Randy Rhoads show or something like that, they've got staffs to do writing, to do research, to do the comedy, to produce the bits. Today, for this show, one more example, we produce something like 8 or 10 new, what we call bumpers, segue intros and outros to segments. You would say, oh, what's the big deal about that? It's what gives the show the radio sound that
right.
I love. It also took the better part of 4 hours to produce what amounted to maybe 4 minutes worth of material there. It's very time intensive.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, okay, the stuff, say you were able to get another station involved and the timing, you wouldn't therefore be needing, because of the breaks, to actually make those bits.
No. Those bits are a part of what I do. I have to have them in there anyway.
No, I'm saying not as many of them and never any of the stolen bits.
Sorry, wrong again. Now, you see, that's not... They're purloined. We don't steal
purloined.
Anything.
They're purloined. The purloined items, yeah.
The deal is, even if the show was loaded up with real spots, and Lord knows it would probably be, it would have to be.
We hope.
It would certainly have to be if we're going to make any money on it. Those comedic bits are part and parcel of what I do and have been my whole radio career. I would not want to do a radio show without a significant number of those regardless. Although it would, in one way, ease my doing the show because I'd have less time to fill. You know, when Bob Grant came back on WABC, I recorded the first show back. And after removing the top of the hour in the news and the traffic and weather and all the commercials and the promos and the PSAs,
let me guess,
60 minutes,
let me guess,
of radio comes down to
about 32.
No, not that bad. 38 minutes.
Close. That's close. Right.
22 minutes of every hour gone. So if, like me, you're doing a three-hour radio show. If you're doing it on a commercial station, you only have to do 2 hours of radio.
Yeah, but see, that's what I'm saying. The only way, I guess, to get fresh blood would be one of these stations, but then you have to change everything around, and is that going to work once you've made the change?
Oh, sure. You're going to lose, you know? A real professional makes it work.
Yeah, but I'm saying the audience expects these, you know, the gross lies and the off-color jokes.
Well, too fucking bad.
Yeah, that's
folks.
What I mean.
No,
you know?
Look, if the only thing, and as you know, this show isn't like grossly obscene at all.
No, of course not.
So if the only thing you're tuning in for is because you're waiting for a bit where Johnny Lightning says fuck, and you know what? I don't want you listening to my show.
Yeah, but I'm
Or I could do it the way Johnny Lightning used to do it in the WWCR days, and even in part in the original R&I days here on WBCQ. Where I used the B word, as I said, where I'd say bucking, which for many broadcasters is a little too close to fucking, because right now I'm saying bucking. You can go and buck yourself, and it's totally, perfectly bucking legal for me to say that. But I bet you a lot of stations would be scared bleepless because of the closeness. But you know what? I could always do that. Totally legal. Yeah. But that's not what it should be all about ever.
I know. That the only thing I say to open a new market.
Fucking cunts.
Yeah. Maybe a cable system, a public access cable channel would allow you to do it. But they don't like the words.
No.
They don't like those words either.
Well, no. Come on. I have watched Brooklyn Public Access Television since I've gotten Cablevision in here. And some of those shows, particularly some of the ones produced by the Haitian community,
exactly.
The language is not only way over the top by contemporary community obscenity standards, but some of the programs I've heard are far more obscene than anything we do here. Yeah. So that's not a problem.
Yeah. Well,
but I also believe that the amount of additional listenership one would pick up being on those stations would be near to nothing. The same way I feel about, you know, callers to this show that call up other shows and try and sneak in our website address or tell other people about Johnny Lightning. That doesn't get you much in the way of listeners ever.
No, it really doesn't, because it goes so fast people can't write it down and commit it to memory anyway if they were interested.
Right. Michael seemed to be smiling over some call he just took on the side there.
Yeah. Somebody who shall remain nameless.
For good reason, I guess.
Yeah, well, because it's the second time calling.
Oh.
Said, what you need is more Jakes to help you out.
Well, yes and no.
Yeah.
More Jakes would mean that the show would be stacked too high with comedy. What I would like, you know, if only, and of course having an average intellect at best, I do not count among my number people in the media, the glitterazzi, folks imbued with fantastic intellects that could challenge my minimal one, and hopefully we would meet somewhere in the middle, man, and create some non-compromised, relatively entertaining. I would love to be able to have on this show people like a Christopher Hitchens, who is a thoughtful person with a rapid-fire mind that is highly evolved. Yes, I say that. I would love to be able to get guests like that on this show to question and to engage in conversation. I would love to have, and no knock on my staff, but I would love to have people I could call upon as regulars here in the studio that could engage me on that level, that can blow me so far out of the water that it would force me to be even more on my game. I don't have that. And those people, when you contact their management, you know, they look you up and they see WBCQ and John Lightning, and invariably they either never get back to you, or they get back to you with a little email letting you know that we can't do it at this time, which basically means go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
I wish I had comedy. Hey, you know what? We're pretty good at comedy here. I like the thing. Comedy, we could do play, and even that, it takes a lot of effort. And yes, a lot of subscribing to services and theft of material too. You bet your sweet ass it does indeed. But we're pretty darn good at comedy. I need more in the way of people that could offer more serious stuff for us to use here. Well, don't have it.
Back when I was in high school.
Back when I was in seminary school.
No, almost. You'd be surprised. An all boys Catholic high school was taught by the Christian Brothers. We had the religious class. We were discussing, forget about the Bible or anything. We were discussing morals. We had our teacher, our Christian brother teacher, calling up the theologist and the priest who actually studied the Bible and theology and getting answers almost every day. I mean, we could, at that time, we could talk anything to you about anything you bring up. We would be able to come out with, this is probably what it means morally, what God really intended versus what's written.
Right, but
you, you know, I'm out of practice like that for 40 years.
But you're still talking about God as a God-fearing person,
yeah.
as a believer. That's the difference there when you talk about that. I don't, you know, theologists don't matter at all to me. I don't even think theology is a science at all. Forget the theologists. What we need are proctologists to take care of the theologists that are pulling this information out of their asses. That's my opinion when it comes down to that, see, which is why I want to toss one more thing by you guys before I get out of here tonight, which is within the next month or so, I guess, Bill Maher is going to have a movie coming out about religion, kind of like a Michael Moore style film on religion. About time somebody has done that. Although the first 28 minutes or so of this movie, Zeitgeist, that is available for free downloading or viewing on the internet, do a search on it. The first 28 minutes does a relatively fine job of not so much debunking Christianity and Jesus as showing, and once again, I did some independent web research on this. They don't have all their facts together, but they overwhelmingly had most of them together, insofar as I was able to see, showing how Jesus Christ and everything, how the character or the caricature of Jesus seems to be a creation based on previous myths and gods that could be traced back to the Romans and Greek mythology, where they had a god named, I think it was Mitra, and if you look at the similarities in terms of the time of year they were born, the date they were born, the fact that they had disciples, their resurrections, their virgin births, their birth being announced by a star in the sky, visits by three leaders or wise men, all instances of that could be traced back to mythology that was written thousands of years before the appearance, supposedly, of Jesus Christ. And they question all this, and it's fascinating. Go online, and I urge you to, at the very least, stream, if only the first 28 minutes of Zeitgeist. Then after that, there's part two, which is about 9-1-1 myths, if you will. And the final segment of that does the whole World Bank, the whole World Bank, come on, help me out here. The whole way, the banking. I'm sorry, I've been on the air a long time now and I'm fading. But the first 28 minutes are really interesting. I don't think it's all together correct. Not everything that they state there is fact is, but for the most part, it's pretty good information. Go and check it out. Once when you know, I will recommend things to you I like, I enjoy, that I think you should see. Do view, at the very least, part one of Zeitgeist. And if you enjoy Christopher Hitchens as much as I am, once again, I wouldn't call myself a fan of his or anything like that, because I just enjoy him. As I was stating, I might have been to you the other day.
Yeah.
What I like about him is the fact that I either really like what he has to say and agree with it, come up about what he has to say, or think he's out of his fucking mind. So, you know, I can't call myself a hero or a fan of somebody that I disagree with strongly on some things, or and then otherwise fully agree on. I just appreciate his, and it's so tired and trite to keep putting it that way, but I appreciate his intellect. I appreciate the way he presents his arguments and the way he lays them out. So if you, like I, enjoy what he does, go to C-SPAN 2's website, do a search for their in-depth program. He did a 3-hour segment on there, taking phone calls from C-SPAN viewers. 3 hours. If you really want to get a good insight on what he's all about, view that program. Well worth your time.
Now, I've always said it, for religion to spread, for it to get converts, it has to change its approach. It has to adapt and take the myths and the cultures of the paganism and make it part of the religion to draw the pagans in. So, okay, this whole idea of the virgin birth and the star and the whole bit, yeah, it could be a mythology, and they applied it to Jesus. Yeah.
It was applied to Jesus.
Obviously, they did. But why did they? You got to find out the real reason. And the whole real reasons you'll never know, because all that documentation was thrown out by Pope Constantine.
Yeah, but you see, I there's no need to find a fucking reason. I think that's relatively simple. It was basic plagiarism. It's you know, this shit was pretty well written. Let's take this stuff, adapt it for our Savior. It's a good story. Why not use it again? I don't think there was some secret hidden meaning behind why it was used. It was already out there. It had been around thousands of years. Maybe it had fallen into disuse. Let's bring it back.
Yeah, and also there's total ignorance of the past. Somebody passes something off and nobody knows the original. Wait a minute. Right now, movie is out with Jodie Foster, and basically her husband's killed and she starts going out shooting criminals. Hey, didn't Charles Bronson do a movie like that 35 years ago? I mean,
quite a stretch, ladies and gentlemen. What I'm trying to say, to me, the key on that is the fact that those myths that were thousands of years old, okay, they were written down on parchment that were available to relatively few, to the intellectuals, to the rich and powerful of the day, who were the only people that had access. I mean, back in those days, most people were not even able to read, and these stories were only passed along by word of mouth, which of course is how most of them end up being compromised. I mean, you know, I tell you a story, and by the time you tell it to somebody else, you tell it to somebody, you know how many permutations it can go through. Well, just think about the whole mythology behind Jesus Christ. The fact that Jesus Christ was dead something like 100 years before St. Paul finally started writing down some of the myths about Jesus Christ. How much did that change over a period of 100 years?
Exactly.
So, you know, that's why I always kind of make fun and say, hey, if you know you want to believe all this biblical horseshit, fine for you. I would try to impart to you this message. Don't. Or at least question.
We only passed history when we didn't have writing. And these people were ignorant. They didn't have writing because the people who were able to write didn't teach them. It was a class thing.
Well, much like what our government today is trying to purposefully keep us ignorant.
All right. So, in other words, they weren't able to write. They had to speak it verbally. And that, you know, is when the things make
changes.
You know,
most people do speak things verbally.
No.
That's a big guy's
history.
They had to speak things verbally. I want you to make a note of that.
Stop cutting me off. You know what I mean is that we had to keep our history going as a verbal record. For example, hey. I like bringing modern examples in to show what I'm talking about.
Did I say God?
In Roots, remember, Alex Haley went to Africa.
And Alex Haley. I think he was.
But he went to Africa to find the story of the tribe he came from. And the only way they could find it is the medicine man or whatever had to read the story from his mind in the same way he was taught, word for word. He had to repeat it all. If you interrupted him, he was lost. And that's how Alex Haley traced back his route in Africa. And that's what people did for millions of years.
That's right. Alex Haley traced back his roots to, I believe, 1598. But for you, 1498, come on down here right now tonight. Boy, we got a sale for you. Look, I got to get out of here just by asking. So, I think within the next couple of weeks, I want to do a religion show. I want to do a show basically stating my feelings about religion over a three-hour period. But that will require significant audience input. You know, it's not something I feel I can talk about for 3 hours. Well, I could, but I don't want to regurgitate stuff I've done in previous shows about religion. I want to keep it pretty much non-bit-oriented, and serious discourse is what I will be striving for. I would also like to get into certain religious specifics. For example, I'd like to do something I've been meaning to do for the longest time, not that it would take a long time, which is basically this country in particular, our infatuation, if you will, with the Ten Commandments and certain Christians' overwhelming, all-consuming need to have those commandments publicly posted for all to see because they're so important. I don't see why they're so important. As my study of those commandments has only shown that no more than three of them are actually law in our land. The other seven commandments, totally superfluous and meaningless to the legal system of our country. If you know, when people say, oh, those Ten Commandments are in part the foundation of our country and our moral code, I say bullshit. And I could prove to you why, commandment by commandment. And I'd also like to do that. And there are many other possibilities, and we should think about
them. Well, if you think about the Ten Commandments, just remember what Mel Brooks said.
If you start one more sentence by saying, if you think about it, I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah. All right.
See, I'm very much into repetition.
If you think that there are Ten Commandments, just remember Mel Brooks's parody. Here are the 13 crunch Ten Commandments.
Yes,
exactly. So how many were there? You know what I mean?
Well, actually, I think in all the versions of the Bible you can find, I don't think there's a version that has, you know, the 11 or the 12 or the 23. But then again, who knows? Somewhere, somebody along the line might have pared it down. And why did they pare it down to 10? I don't know exactly.
And to remember, if the story is true, the original tablets were destroyed. And then the Jews marched 40 years through the desert. So there goes the story verbally again, how it changed.
And find any historical proof, other than what's written in the Bible, that the Jews spent 40 years wandering fuck around.
It's probably true, because even back then, men just wouldn't ask for directions.
Especially those Hasidic hordes and Hebrew Haimi hotheads. You know, that's Bruce Haynes.
Say goodnight, John.
To Bruce Haynes. Mahimi. What did I say? I shouldn't say it again, whatever it was. All right, that about that wraps it. Hey, you got it. You got an extra half hour out of us, folks. And
yeah, and don't deserve it. Yeah.
It was what it was. It was a plea to you. Now, last but not least, because I don't think I gave it out all night and remiss very much. If you would like to comment, in particular on anything we referred to here in the post-game show, have any suggestions for future shows or even the religious show, the email address, wbcqradio@aol.com. wbcqradio@aol.com. We try and keep it fresh every week. Little, like I said, you notice with this show, new bits, the vast majority, most weeks, virtually everything. Every week, new bits. You think it's easy to find new bits every week? You think it's cheap for the bits that we buy every week? Although that's all we wanted to. Huh? All the bumpers and the promos, everything, it's all, for the most part, produced in-house. When we have to go out and hire voices, we are, in fact, buying voices. And why do we do that? Why do we constantly keep mixing up the production and changing things up? Why do we have hundreds of jingles? To keep it fresh. It would be real simple for me to get on the air every week and do the same fucking thing week after week after week. The reason I don't do it is because I feel it would be a slap at you. I'm not being self-serving. That, well, maybe I am just a little bit. But I really do think it's saying up yours to you. If I'm asking you, if I'm inviting you into the big broadcast tent every week to hear what I do, and I don't give it a full effort every week, or just about every week, hey, I'm only human. It's insulting of me to ask you for your time and not deliver the goods. So I try my damnedest. And all I ask from you is a little input. And yes, that's all I get. The email address, one last time, wbcqradio@aol.com. Write me tonight, won't you, friends? Sometime this week. Check in. Let me know of your love and affection for our show. And if you really do think it blows, tell me so. But tell me why it blows. You know, when people send emails, your show sucks, Johnny. Totally useless. That has no impact on me. First of all, I know the show doesn't suck. But if you feel it does, you have to be able to tell me why. Detail to me in what way it sucks. Then your words will have a little vig, a little weight behind them. Otherwise, don't waste your time or mine. Until next week, final words, guys. Michael?
Everybody have a good week, and if we're still alive next week, we'll be here.
I sure hope so. I don't mean I necessarily hope that I'm still here, but I sure hope I'm still alive because, you know, I've got hot and sour soups to drink, X-rated German porn videos to watch.
By the way,
a $40 refund for time unused on my Amex card from Asian Escorts Limited.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
By the way, if condoms are Chinese, would they be spare-ribbed?
Ooh! Very good. Spare-ribbed condoms. That I'm writing that down right now for the bit. We are going to work on a bit. See, that's what I was looking for. That's beautiful. That's great. That's fucking great. There you heard it.
Once a year or so.
I love it. That might be the kappa. Thank you, sir. Big guy, final words?
That's it. Nothing for me. Bye.
All right. Thank you all out there, and good night. Spare rib.